Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patrone. Well, big week. A lot of pleasant things, a lot of bad things happen. Let me start with some of the pleasant things, if I may. Super Bowl this week. Great game for those of you who are interested in football. One of the best college games I've seen. Alabama won by 5 over Clemson. Two terrific teams. Both belong there. Too bad both teams could not win. Every year I have a problem now with this show. On this evening, on a Tuesday night, I compete with the president in the State of the Union. He started just now at 9 o'clock as I did. I smile when I say that. I just think it's we're on at the same time and nothing we can do about it. Actually, I miss seeing him. I will pick him up in the middle of the night when I can't sleep, and I'll be rerunning the State of the Union several times on different channels. But I would rather watch it. It's not a problem. Let me tell you why. This show is archived. My viewers primarily come from the archived versions. This show is now running, it's archived in several different places, Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, it's linked to my Key West Lou website. And I will tell you that some evenings I only have three to five people listening to me at this particular time every Tuesday, but during the course of the week, that number is dramatically increased. I got hooked up again. They keep expanding me, the people who run this program. I am now on 9 different sites, channels, whatever you want to call them, where people can pick me up. And they're all archived also. And my numbers grew. You're not going to believe this. I went up 300% in December. I absolutely do not believe that number or that percentage. I'm curious to see what's going to happen here in January. But my people aren't listening now. Most of you are listening on the archive version, and so it doesn't create a problem for me. What bothers me this evening is what bothers you. The Iranians have taken 2 of our small boats and 10 of our sailors. Somehow our people went into their waters. One of the boats, they say, something was wrong mechanically. The 2 boats were trying to fix it. And they drifted unknowingly into territorial waters belonging to Iran. The Iranian Navy picked them up. And wowee, the last time they picked up sailors like this was back during the Carter administration. It took, well over a year, I forget how long, forever to get those sailors back that the Iranians kept in custody. It was a total embarrassment to our nation. It was a total embarrassment to President Carter. He tried twice, as I recall, to get them back, and both rescue attempts failed. It is said on the news tonight, on the television news channels, on the talk shows, that by morning, it's about 6 o'clock in the morning now in Iran, by late morning it's expected that our 10 sailors, 9 men and 1 woman, will be released. We're supposed to be in kumbaya time with Iran now because of the agreement recently signed, which goes into effect next week. And this all is interesting. It is said, now Senator Kerry has made friends in Iran. When he called, this happened, he found out, he sat down, they say, he picked up the phone, he called his counterpart in Iran, and Iran, the big people, did not even know that their Navy had picked up our people, or so they claim. I find it hard to believe these people. But anyhow, because of the relationship, because of the agreement that goes into effect, besides which, in a week, when this agreement goes into effect, we're giving these people $150 billion over there, which I still don't understand. They blow that money. So I would assume our people are going to come out in several hours. I hope they do. If they don't, let's not screw around. Let's go get them. I'm sick and tired of us being a second-class nation when it comes to things like this. We have not been, in the last few years under Obama, asserting our power and authority, and people lose respect for you and don't listen to you anymore when you do not. It's time that I agree, we got to start doing these things. Now, Powerball jackpot. Wowee. $1.3 billion tomorrow night. Somebody could win $1.3 billion. Isn't that absolutely amazing? I never buy lottery tickets. Don't ask me why. I just never buy them. I bought 10 last week. They're $2 a piece. I spent $20 in anticipation of, what was it, $900 million. Maybe I could win. And I've already bought 10 for this week, okay, for this $1.3 billion. What's exciting about this is whoever wins, it changes their whole life. I think that's absolutely terrific. And I hope it's someone that really needs the money. And it will change their lives. They'll never be the same again. They'll have many material things. It's just, wow, it's a terrific thing. And I wish whoever wins well. Which brings me to Donald Trump, who I think is not a good person to lead our country. Many of you disagree with me. I will have comments tomorrow about that statement I just made. I get comments when I put it in writing in my daily blog, and there are people who agree with me, don't get me wrong. But it's amazing the following he has. I didn't expect it. I just don't think he's the proper man to be president of the United States, our president. I want to talk, and I'll tell you why. One of the things that bothers me, I think besides being a buffoon, he's a hard ass, and he shoots without thinking. He draws and shoots without thinking. He knocks people. He knocks things. I don't like this guy. I don't think he's presidential. He's of the presidential quality we seek. Now, a few days ago, you will recall, you heard about this, Trump was speaking at a rally in South Carolina. This is the one where they rented a place that only had 1,400 seats, but they gave out 20,000 free passes to get to hear him. So Trump could stand up and say, oh, my God, there are thousands of people in the streets trying to get in, and we don't have room for them. This guy's terrific. Anyhow, a woman got in there, an Arab woman, and she was dressed in jihad. She had her head covered and all that sort of thing. And she sat in the middle of the audience. At some point in Trump's speech, he said, the Syrian refugees who were fleeing in volumes out of Syria were affiliated with ISIS. He didn't say one or two. He said they're all affiliated with ISIS. This woman stood up to say something, and before she could speak, Trump immediately, said to security, remove her. He didn't say it violently, he just said, remove her. And they did, and she didn't give anyone any trouble, okay? But what bothered me is this. The news reports indicate that the crowd turned nasty, immediately turned nasty against this woman. You could feel it was like a hatred in the room. And they were yelling at her. And I just don't think this is right. This nasty bothers me. There was a time when he first started, Trump was rabble-rousing, okay, without any unusual audience support. I compare Trump up to last week when he was in South Carolina. I'm going to say it this way. People get mad at me. Adolf Hitler in the early 1930s, when he was seeking power and didn't have it, he spoke to the populace. He promised everyone everything. Whatever they wanted, they were going to get. He said what they wanted to hear. And that's what Trump does. He tells people what they want to hear. And so I compare him when Hitler was trying to gain power in Germany in the 1930s. Now, after this episode in South Carolina, where the crowd turned nasty against the woman, we've moved. We've moved up time-wise. It's now the mid-1930s and not the early 1930s. The mid-1930s when Hitler was in power, okay? The people listened to him. They followed him. They did everything he said. And they supported Hitler strongly in the mid-1930s, especially against the Jews. Now, Trump's not going to go against the Jews. He's going to go against the Muslims if he's elected. I just think this is the wrong way to do things. That's all. And it's not American. and I want to live in the United States of America. I don't want to live in a quasi-totalitarian state. Our Congress does wonderful things. They do not represent the people. They do not represent us. They are beholden to corporate America. They are beholden to Wall Street. They are beholden to the rich. And little things happen to the detriment of the American people. And why they happen is because Congress does the will of the people with the money. We have had since 2009 in this country a law that said all meat, M-E-A-T, meat that was coming into this country had to be labeled as to its origin. It was required to be labeled as to the country it came from. So, and this had to be stated clearly on the meat, so people know what they're buying and what they're eating. You recall, I can remember, 3 years ago, I used to buy a particular popular brand fruit in a can. And there was this thing that came out of China, and some of it was contaminated. And I went to the supermarket, picked a can off the shelf, and I'm telling you, there it was, produced in China. Never bought it again. And I worry about these things because not everyone has the same standards as we do when it comes to the quality of food. Anyhow, this law was called the Country of Origin Labeling. Well, it was repealed in December. It didn't last long, 2009 to late 2015. And here's what burns my ass. It's the only way to put it. It was an add-on to the budget bill. You recall the Democrats and Republicans got along, and we passed a budget bill, $1.1 trillion. Obama signed it into law. Well, what Congress does, they have these little things they want. And they'll say, well, I can see what happened here. Some Republicans said, if you want us to support this, Mr. President, and they said that to the Democrats, you must give up this labeling of country of origin. Because there are countries out there, okay, that don't want us to know that the meat's coming from their country. We import from Mexico, Canada. We import from European countries. We import big time from Australia. Australia doesn't like it. Canada doesn't like it. Mexico doesn't like it. But now they don't have to worry anymore because the lobbyists did their job. The public relations people did the job. They got the Republicans to insist that this had to be part of the budget bill. What the hell does it have to do with the budget bill? Right now, 8 to 10% of the meat we eat in this country is imported. It is expected to rise dramatically in this year. I want to talk about another bill that Congress passed because, again, it's the add-ons. It has nothing to do with it. We have a new highway bill that was passed, remember? Wonderful. The Republicans finally agreed to one. The president signed it. $305 billion to repair our highways, our schools, our bridges, whatever needs repairing in that area. This is great. We need it, and it's going to create a ton of jobs. Well, there are a ton of add-ons to the highway bill, too, that have nothing to do with the construction of new highways or repair of highways. And it's a screw job for the American citizens, this add-on. It has to do with the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS. And it requires the IRS to use collection agencies. Now, they must use collection agencies to collect any debt in excess of $50,000, anyone who owes more than $50,000 in taxes. Well, you have to appreciate what's going to happen. IRS agents have been collecting, and they do a good job. And you can work with them. You got to be able to work with them. When you're in trouble, you got to be able to work with the IRS agents, and they work plans out and everything else. You go to the collection agencies, it's going to be like you owe money and they get on the phone and start harassing you. You've got a $10,000 or $2,000 American bill you can't pay. The collection agency, they're aggressive, okay? They're ruthless. They're going to call you morning, noon, and night, even though it's illegal to call you in the evening. They've been doing this for years, and they will continue to do it, okay? This has been tried. two other times in the last 20 years, and each time it failed. It cost the government too much money. It was cheaper to do it with the agents, and what they produced, the collection agencies, was not that much. Now you say, because when you think of a collection agency, you think of a little office someplace and a husband and wife are collecting local small-time bills. This isn't what I'm talking about when I say collection agency. There is an industry out there. There are major corporations who have power like you would not believe when it comes to collecting bills. They have so much power, they control the bankruptcies of major companies because they're handling the debt. They pick the trustee, they take care of everything. I know, I've been through this. As an attorney, I was through this. In fact, I did a lot of collection work at one time with these people, so I know how it works. And it's going to cost us more money with these people now, because they instead of just taking a straight percentage, what they do is they say, well, this is an unusually difficult case, or if somebody does not pay and they have to be sued, well, this is going to make it extra hard and time consuming. So now the government's going to have to pay the collection agency and the attorney they've hired 5 to 10% of the total amount to get them going. And that 5 and 10% on all these cases adds up. And they don't do an effective job. They will not do an effective job here. And so we're going to be, just like the last two times it was done, it'll take 5 or 10 years to realize this, but it isn't going to work. It's going to cost us money. My aggravation with this whole thing was it was an add-on to the highway bill. And it has nothing to do with highway construction. They keep sneaking these things in, and the opposing power party goes along with it because they got to work out a deal. Want to talk about bombs. Bombs that have been dropped. We're driving bombs all the time over in the Middle East. You know that. We don't put our boots on the ground. We put them in, we got people in the air. We're going to bomb the hell out of everybody, and they're going to submit. What a joke, okay? Vietnam didn't collapse because Johnson bombed the hell out of them. The people of London, England, Great Britain never gave up because Hitler was bombing them every night, all night, okay? Bombing doesn't seem to drive people into submission. It has never worked in the history of warfare, and that's modern warfare. Well, the consul of foreign relations, impressive group. You've heard of them, most of you. Consul of Foreign Relations. Sounds like they're attached to the United States government. They're not. They are an independent think tank. They have been in business since around 1921. They came out with some numbers this past week. In 2015, 23,144 bombs were dropped in the Middle East. 23,144 bombs. They were dropped on Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, and Somalia. Okay, most of them were dropped on Iraq and Syria, something like 22,110. That sounds pretty good. They give us the numbers. We know it's a lot. But they also said in all those bombings, okay, only 6 civilians were killed. 6 civilians. 23,000 bombings, only 6 civilians killed. I can't believe that. I don't care how careful our country says it is, claims to be when it does its bombing, it warns people. Over the whole year, only 6 civilians got killed. I question the numbers. I have no way of checking it out. I just question the numbers. It doesn't make sense. It is not common sense to me. Now, I can't say that this is not a good group, the Council of Foreign Relations. They're a respected group. Many mornings, Richard Haass is on the Morning Joe show. Their board of directors, they've got people on their board of directors that are respected. Tom Brokaw, Colin Powell. And so I can't see how they come up with crappy numbers like that. Only 6 died. Again, I can't believe it. I question it. The number, it does not make sense. Something that bothers me about the Council of Foreign Relations, and you should be aware of if you are not, There are groups in this country, there are groups all over the world that want us to have one world government. And within the United States here, we've had groups over the last 20 years who have pushed for one world government. Like all the countries in Europe got together and now they got the Euro Union. And they want us to have one government. And then we're going to have one global economy. And the corporations and the banks are going to control that one global economy. All right? That's why. The corporations want it. The banks want it. And they work with the banks and the international corporations to build one world government. And I haven't liked it for 20 years, and I don't like it. I don't think it would ever happen, but never say never in this country. My column for this week in Conk Life, which gets published tomorrow, I'll be on the street, is Kisses, K-I-S-S-E-S, Kisses. And I'm not talking about the Hershey Kisses. My columns are generally heavy. They're political in nature, and they're sort of heavy. And every now and then, every 3 or 4 weeks, for my benefit and my reading public's benefit, I got to write something light. So I wrote The History of Kissing, The History of Kisses. And it's interesting. I got to tell you something. People that haven't always kissed. The first kiss didn't happen until around 1000 BC. Up to that time, people used to go up to each other and come close to each other's faces, and they would sniff because they would recognize people by their smell, by their odor. Somewhere along the way, heads started slipping and lips started meeting, and we had kissing. Kissing originated, by the way, in India. That's the first place it's recorded to have occurred. Now we got kissing. People are starting to kiss. They're enjoying it. Well, now the church gets involved, the Catholic Church and some other religions. This is bad. This is sinful. Yeah, this is sinful because it's going to lead to fornication, they said. So the church banned kissing. Some governments banned kissing. Everybody gets crazy in this world. As recently as in the 1800s, somebody banned kissing. That beautiful thing we have today, that wondrous thing, that wonderful thing, everybody gets their nose involved in simple and expensive things that give pleasure to all of us. So it's the history of kissing. If you have an opportunity to read it, please do so. I think you will enjoy it. Okay. We're going now to what happened on Sunday in the whole world. There's a day for everything now, okay? And this past Sunday, January 10th, the 10th day of every year, and this was, I think, the 22nd year they have had this day, was No Pants Subway Ride Day. No Pants Subway Ride Day. It's reported that tens of thousands of people in 60 cities worldwide ride subway trains without their pants. This is male and female in New York, London, Tokyo, Moscow, Jerusalem, and Prague, amongst other places. Male and female took their pants off. Now, if the men take their pants off, most of them were wearing boxer shorts. The ladies take their pants off. They're wearing panties, most of them. And there were a lot of pictures on the Internet. It was sexy. It was sensuous. I got to say it was sensuous to see them. I'm 80 years old. I like the look. It was sensuous. But the thing is, they take their pants off. They're doing this in countries where it's winter and it's cold now. And you see pictures of men and women wearing heavy winter jackets, boots and hats, gloves, and no pants, except for their underwear. And one of the key things is no one looks at anyone. That's part of the rules. No one laughs. No one stares at anyone. They just walk around. They walk into the subway station with their pants on, take them off, take the train ride, get off, put their pants back on, and leave. And no one looks at anyone. No one makes fun of anyone. There was a gentleman in London. He was dressed for work. They're always dressed for work, the men in London. I was amazed when I went there to work for a while. The men dress all the time. Anyhow, here he is in the subway station, leaning against a pole. He's got shirt and tie, a vest, and a jacket. He's got a top coat that is open, and he's got no pants on. And he's got a hat, by the way, and an umbrella, but he has no pants on. And people aren't staring at him, and he's not staring at people. Of course, most of the people don't have pants on either. I just think it's interesting that people do this, and I think it's healthy that people have these kinds of days, even though they're wacky and they're crazy. Sometimes, somehow, we've got to break the seriousness of life. Question arises all the time, is the economy better? It's a question very frequently asked, and it's very serious. Is the recession over in this country? Well, I think the answer is no. Okay? I know that the market is at the highest levels ever. I know that people on Wall Street, especially CEOs, are getting $20 million, over $100 million bonuses. More people are working, maybe not for as much money. But 5% unemployment, the president's probably already spoken about it tonight in the State of the Union. Things are decidedly better, no question about it. But I still think things aren't that much better because they are better, but not that great. Because people, the 99% don't feel it. It's still the 1%, 99%. The American dream has been lost. There was a recent study by the Associated Press, and they said that 90% of the people believe that 2015 was not any better than 2014. It did not improve. 2015 was not any better than the previous year. 90% of the people interviewed, and that means that only 10% thought it was better. And if you take the 10% and you take the 90%, it's the 1%, 99% thing proven. Warmongering, making guns of war, making equipment for war, making airplanes, guns, uniforms, hand grenades, whatever people use for war, ships, anything that's used for war, airplanes. Well, it's a big business. I don't have to tell you that. However, in the United States last year, the money went down. Our government every year, in some fashion, squeezes the military budget, which used to be the biggest. They've got to save a dollar. So we're not doing what we should do. Our Navy's down to 270 ships. We need 350. In 5 years, China built a Navy that didn't have anything. They now have 350 modern new naval vessels. We don't do that anymore because Congress saves a buck here, and we're going to bomb the hell out of everybody. We don't need boots on the ground and that sort of thing. However, sales by gun-making manufacturers, they make it in the United States. Their sales overall were greater outside the United States. Their sales outside the United States were up 35% or $10 billion. And who's buying equipment for war? Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and South Korea are the biggest buyers. We are selling, our gun manufacturing plants are selling more outside the country than inside the country and making a lot of money. That's the show for this week. Hope you enjoyed. Join me again next week. Remember, I don't have to tell you because most of you read it, the show is archived on Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, and linked to Key West Lou website. I wrote a book, I say this every week, The World Upside Down. If you like the show, buy the book. If you don't like the show, don't buy the book. It was good talking with you again this week. I look forward to next week.